What's good, good people? Hello, this is your host, Lavelle Powell, and I want to welcome you to this week's edition of the Keynote Cafe, all right? So glad and honored to have you guys with us. Look forward to giving you a fantastic show today. Today's guest is none other than the incomparable, the enchanting, Brian Culberson. I had a very wonderful conversation with him on the show, and I'm looking forward to letting you guys see that for yourselves and witness it for yourselves and get all the enjoyment that all the Brian Culberson fans deserve to get from it, okay? Wonderful interview. So we're going to one thing about Brian Culberson is that he has a very impressive list of accomplishments. Not only does he have several hit albums to his credit, but this guy has won and has been nominated for several awards. I mean, just going down the list of information on his website here, he was nominated for the Soul Train Award. He was nominated for NAAC Image Award, Keyboardist of the Year, Entertainer of the Year, Male Artist of the Year, Song of the Year for his song, That's Life, and Album of the Year. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. This guy has a very impressive catalog of music and a very impressive list of accomplishments that he should be very proud of. I, for one, am very proud of him, and I know he should be proud of himself. Great work, my brother. Great work, man. So also to talk about previous episodes. On the previous episode, we basically talked about myself, my career path, the things that I have been involved in, the things that I'm involved in now. That was a very great moment for me because a lot of folks don't know my background. They see me on the internet and stuff like that, but they don't really know very much about my background. And me having had my hand heavy in the film side, I did several movies starring a lot of big names, a lot of guys like Clifton Powell, Omar Gooding, Felicia Pearson, Hassan Johnson, and the name and the list goes on. Okay, so I've worked with a lot of different people in movies as far as being a film composer, as well as some top 10 and number one hits that I put out, Black Pearls, My Forever Love, It's Janice, and that will be an increasing list of songs as well, because I'll be putting out more music as an artist somewhere in my busy schedule, huh? I'll be doing that on a regular basis. Our very first episode kicked off with the legendary funk man, Larry Dodson. Okay, Larry Dodson kicked off the Keynote Cafe's first episode in grand fashion, right? The guy shared a lot of valuable information with us that a lot of people, including myself, may not have been aware of. Very valuable history on himself and the Barqués, how they came to be, and their long list of hits and successes that they have amassed, right? So the Barqués, they're a great group. One of their songs, Holy Ghost, was actually one of the things that even made me decide that I wanted to be in the entertainment industry myself. So Larry Dodson played a big role in my decision to even be, to pursue a career in the entertainment industry, okay? Whether he knows that or not, all right? So also, for those who need to know or want to know, the show will also be broadcasting in the UK, And as well, it will be available on several podcasting platforms. Some of the ones that I can think of off the top of my head is Spotify, Breaker, Google Podcasts, Radio Public, Anchor FM, and the list goes on. There are several of them out there. So you can catch the show as well on your favorite podcasting platform. You can listen to it, okay? On the YouTube page, you can go to the Keynote Cafe's YouTube page anytime you want and actually watch the episode, okay? Get a visual experience from it, huh? So that's information you can use right there. So what we're going to do is before we commence our interview with Brian Culberson, we're going to listen to one of my favorites from him called Colors of Love. And after that, then we're going to jump right into our interview with the incomparable Brian Culberson. Okay, guys? Hey, stay tuned. Hey, Brian Culberson, thank you very much, man, for joining me, man, and taking time out of your schedule to talk to me, man, about your wonderful career, man. I'm so excited to speak with you, man. So.
Oh, man. Thanks for the invite, Lavelle. Appreciate it.
No problem at all. No problem. Yeah. So how's everybody? How's family and all of that stuff, man? Everything good?
You know, we're hanging out.
Hey, that's it.
Hanging
man.
Around the house, man.
Hey, you know what? Hey, that, well, that's the norm, huh? The new norm, I guess, for the time being, huh?
Mm-hmm. We don't know what's going to happen, so we'll see. We're, you know, take it a day by day.
That's
just
how you do it.
Kind of focusing on what needs to be done, and that's all we can do.
That's it.
You know, I normally tour all the time, so this is a whole new situation for me. So
yeah, man, big changes, man, as a result of this
mm-hmm.
thing.
Yeah.
So hey, man, we're gonna get right on it, man. Cause I have a cool. very important question to ask you from the jump, man.
Uh-oh.
It's regarding your Colors of Love track, your single.
Sure.
One of the things that I really picked up about it that intrigued me, the music itself suggests a love or passion for diversity, right? And I just wanted to know if that was your intent or was that a motivation behind that track?
Initially, it was just about creating, kind of filling out this whole album. See, at the time when I made Colors of Love, the album, I was coming up on my 20th wedding anniversary.
Oh.
And so for me, I was just thinking about all of that mainly. And so every song kind of had to do with something in our life that was happening. And I had done this whole album and I realized I needed one more song that was a little more of a, I don't know, single, if you will, lead off. And so that initial kind of bell melody hit me one day. And it's da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then I put this groove underneath it. I was like, oh, yes. So that's how it kind of sparked. You know, I just needed an extra track. And I knew I needed something that still fit the album.
Yeah.
Yet was kind of hitting a little harder. So
I think the song it speaks volumes, man. I don't know the full extent of your intention, but it definitely intrigues me greatly, man. I love that song a great deal.
Thank you very much.
So would you be able to perhaps give us a little bit of history, you know, of your career beginnings, how you got started in this whole wonderful industry that we're in here?
Sure. Wow. Yeah. So here's the deal. I was always writing music ever since I was, you know, a kid. I started writing my own music about 12 years old. I got really inspired by somebody in my hometown, just South Chicago. He had a home studio, so I got to go visit him when I was 12. And I just lost my mind. I don't know how old you were when you first went to a studio, but this just like, I was like, what? You can program drums, you can play all the parts yourself.
Exactly.
Up until then, I had only been practicing like classical piano on an upright piano at the house, which, you know, it's cool.
Yeah.
But not that fun for a kid, that is.
Yeah, the studio is like a candy store, man.
Oh, man. So I about lost my mind in there. I'm programming all the sounds and laying down the strings and the piano and the whole nine. Got a cassette tape when we finished. Remember cassettes?
Yeah, how about that?
Wore that sucker out, I'm telling you. So ever since I did that, all I wanted to do, that was kind of my focus. So I got a paper route to save up enough money to buy a Macintosh computer. It was $900.
All right.
Remember the Mac Plus?
Yeah, man.
The little 8-inch black and white screen. Didn't even have a hard drive in it. It was like, it's crazy.
Hey, man, we're telling on ourselves here.
So anyway, fast forward a few years, we had a family friend that was in the music business. The only person I knew that lived in LA, his name was Bud Harner. I tell this story a lot. Mm-hmm. And I call him Uncle Bud. So over the years, I would send him little tapes of stuff that I was doing. He was so encouraging. And finally, after my second year at DePaul University in Chicago, I sent him a tape and he was like, oh, okay, I like that. So he played it for the label. Next thing I know, I'm 20 years old. I get a 6-album record contract sent to me. you know, second year in college, I'm freaking out. So that's kind of it. I made the record in my college apartment. Yeah. That's on awesome. on like $7,000 they gave me. That's it.
Hey man, you did it.
Oh, so you know, bought a couple of reverb units, paid some musicians, and then that money was gone quick.
Yeah, it doesn't take much, that's for sure.
Man.
But you did it, man. That's for sure.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I also love about you, man, and I'm sure the fans would appreciate this, is that you are clearly a multi-instrumentalist, right? So I was wondering, I always wondered, was there an eye-opening moment or some sort of a particular goal that you had in mind that you sought that led you to devote yourself to mastering more than one instrument?
It was kind of an accident, actually. So I, like many kids, I was forced to play classical piano in the beginning.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. You're going to take piano lessons. All right. So fine. So there's that. But then the following year, I wanted to rebel. So I decided I wanted to learn the drum set because that's the loudest, craziest thing you can do.
Yes.
So I got a drum teacher and I had a drum set. I was jamming in the basement trying to play along with Earth, Wind & Fire and Toto records, right? Trying to play like Steve Picaro and those cats. Of course, I was like 9 years old, you know. I don't know if it was good, but I was learning. The following year, I wanted to join the school band, the fifth grade band. And if you know about fifth grade band, there's no piano in the band. There's also the drum parts are like the easiest thing in the world when you join the fifth grade. It's like, dun, 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 dun. I was like, hey, man, I'm already playing along with Earth, Wind, and Fire, man. I can't be doing that. This is my 10-year-old self telling me, right? So they're like, well, you can try a wind instrument. So I was like, okay. So, you know, they lay them all out, you know, how they do in school. And I tried them all. And for some reason, I could just sort of play trombone. I had a trombone chop naturally.
Yeah, man. You are the man with that.
So the first day, man, I just played all day long. I just fell in love with that instrument. I don't know why. It's a weird instrument, but I dig it.
I did the alto sax for a little while in high school, but I didn't stick with it.
Yeah, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah, but you're the man, definitely, with that.
But check this out. A couple years later, I was in a junior high jazz band, and they're like, hey, we need somebody to play the funk bass part for Chameleon. I was like, yeah, I'll try it. You know, you're a kid, you don't know anything. So I picked up the bass. I got a bass teacher and bought some bass books and tried to learn that. So it was just sort of happened, you know. I didn't really have any plan.
Well, I guess it was just a result of your overall passion for music, you know. It just you had the interest in a number of different things like that. So that's awesome, man. Mm-hmm. So do you recall your first certified hit?
Ooh, well, that's a good question. I mean, technically, the first single that I ever had out was called City Lights off that first album that I made in my apartment, right? That song actually did really well at radio, Smooth Jazz Radio. And that was the song that really got me signed. It was the first song on my demo tape.
Okay.
And the song that kind of grabbed the attention of Bud and the label. And so they're like, that's the first single. So they put it out and it actually did fairly well. It didn't like top the charts or anything. However, the following year, I had the number two album of the year on the radio. Not just for a week or two, of the year. It was crazy. So I was just kind of tuning into something. You know, I was 21 years old when I made that second record. You know, I didn't know what I was doing, really. I just was trying to create something interesting that I thought was interesting. So,
well, you did. And like I said, the rest is history, huh? Yeah. So, you know, that is, man. That's awesome, man. And it's a gratifying feeling when you create something from your heart, and then you see how much other people can appreciate it too. It just gives you, it just makes it all the more worth it for you, that end result, you know. So I can certainly appreciate that, man. So your latest piece of work, Okay, this is it. Would that be the 20 album? Is that what I, the proper
Yeah,
way of
technically,
saying it?
yeah, the latest album. I just put a kind of a compilation CD out, Music from the Hang, but the latest actual album is 20. So XX, Roman
All right,
numeral
man.
20.
Exactly, man.
I just thought it looked cooler.
It does. And it is a great, great album, man. I kudos Thanks. To you for that, man. Tremendous piece of work. And one of the things that I was wondering about that album is a very great culmination of styles and genres and things like that.
Yeah.
So with that in mind, how would you characterize yourself? Would you characterize yourself as a jazz artist per se, or an artist, or how would you categorize yourself?
I mean, it kind of gets thrown out there. I people sort of put me in three genres, jazz, funk, R&B artist.
Okay.
You know, that's kind of been my concentration, but of course I'm sort of over here. I'm over here. I'm experimenting, you know, I guess it's technically just an artist. But you know, people like to know they like specifics. You know what I'm saying?
And that's what that kind of goes into my next question. I know back in the day that was almost frowned upon, you know, for someone to just be character, well, to want to do more than one genre, you know. They wanted you, in the experiences of my past, they wanted you to, okay, if you're going to be a jazz artist, you're going to be a jazz artist. If you're going to be a pop artist, you be a pop artist. So do you think that point of view has changed over the years? Do you think that maybe the industry has sort of loosened up on that expectation? Maybe they expect you to do more than one genre now, or?
I honestly don't know. I mean, I think it depends on who it is. You know, I will tell you this. When I first went to, because I was on Warner Brothers for a long time, Atlantic, Universal, Verve Records. So in 2008, I had the idea to make the Bringing Back the Funk record, a funk album. And when we first went to Universal, they were like, nah, we will not fund this. You're a jazz artist. So to your point, absolutely.
Yeah,
however, I was like, well, I'm not doing anything else. So we either do this or you let me out of my deal.
Exactly.
So my manager was playing hardball. They finally said, okay, fine, do the thing. And then, of course, it comes out and ends up really doing very well on jazz radio, because I made sure that it still had, you know, some commercial appeal to that, because, you know, you don't want to completely alienate your current fan base and current radio base.
Right.
You know, you don't want to be stupid about it. But in the same regard, you definitely want to stretch the boundaries and push a little bit.
Exactly.
Because otherwise, you know, what are you doing?
You're making
the same record over and over? Boring.
That creative freedom for that artist is what it's all about. And I just don't think that there should be any restraints put on that. You know, personally, I think that you should be able to create as you are inspired, you know, and there shouldn't be anything. And that's another thing I very much admire about your work, man. So you kind of demonstrate that the bounds of your creativity has no limits to a genre, you know. So also with that album, you work with a number of very big names as well.
Yeah.
And I was wondering as well, creatively, were there any adjustments that had to be made to working with another artist's creative level or creative style? Was there any clashes in creativity with let's say, Ray Parker Jr. and different ones like that, you know?
I mean, there's always, you know, compromise when you're collaborating with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably know this. Anytime you're in a room with another really amazing musician, the idea is to kind of mesh the two of you together.
Mm-hmm.
And the other person is going to think differently, and they're going to throw out ideas. And initially, sometimes you might want to balk at it and say, I don't like that. But then you got to have an open mind. You're like, okay, well, let me see where this goes. You got to sort of play it out. But ultimately, for me, it is my record if my name's going to be on it. So I do have to be comfortable with it and dig it at the end of the day. Exactly. So if there's something I'm not feeling, I sort of get the veto power.
There you go. That's it.
But you have to. And vice versa, if it was their album and they call me to come in and I throw out an idea they're not going to like, well, they're going to trash that. And I'm fine with that.
Right.
So it's just the collaborative process. That's how it works.
Yeah. That's great to know. I'm sure some people like myself were very curious about that, the whole process of creating that album.
You want to dance with me, baby? Come on, let's do this. You to know that we got a new dance called the glow up. Brian, are you ready?
Oh yeah.
Are you ready?
Let's get together and get these mugs on the one.
Come on.
Funkin' for funk.
We gon' take it to the right now, y'all. Hop two times. We gon' take it to the right now, y'all. Hop two times. Now bring it up to the front. And hop two times. Now take it on back now, y'all. Then hop two times.
Yeah, Bobo.
We go.
Say what? A boogie bop and boogie woogie boogie.
So, your show, The Hang.
Yeah, yeah.
I tune into it every chance I get, man. It's great.
Oh, man.
High energy, great performances. Get to see some videos and things like that. I mean, I love that show, man. I love what you're doing. So, did that show come out of the whole pandemic thing that was taking place? Or
sure. Yeah, initially I was randomly going live on Facebook, like many people did, you know, with the phone. Hey, I'm in the studio. It is Friday night. I didn't have a theme song. It wasn't called The Hang. What I used to call it was Friday Night Studio Hang. I mean, it was what it was. So I'd been doing that for like years, maybe 4 years, but I really wasn't home on Fridays that often, right?
Right.
Be on the road, whatever. Right, so right. When I did do it, it was kind of a special thing. And hey, I'm in this. It's Friday night. Yeah, we're hanging out. And here, let me show you what I'm doing. Okay. Forward to, well, rewind to March of this year.
Okay.
All gets shut down. The first week I started was March 20th. Same thing on my phone. Hey, you know, I'm supposed to be on the cruise, Smooth Jazz Cruise right now. Obviously, we're not. So I had no choice but to just keep it going every Friday. And eventually, after about 3-4 weeks, I was like, man, this audio sucks. The video's no good. I want to up this situation. So I, you know, dove in deep on how do you stream? What do you need? What, you know, first of all, I wanted stereo audio because, you know, when you're on your phone, it's in mono.
Right.
That's no good at all.
No, man.
It sucks.
You better believe it.
Come on, piano and mono sound like 1960s jazz record, you know. Anyway, I just kind of went down that rabbit hole and just watched every blog and read every blog and called anybody that I knew that had done it. And very daunting in the beginning because you just got to buy a ton of stuff.
Yeah.
And in April, actually, most of the stuff wasn't even available. Everything was sold out everywhere because everyone was jumping on the streaming game.
Yeah.
Oh, so it was so hard. But it kind of slowly came together and keeps evolving.
I see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you have so many people tuning in, myself included.
Thank you.
It's a great show, man. So is this something that you're going to be continuing to do? You're going to continue to do it for the duration?
Yeah. I mean, there's no end in sight right now. Yeah. So I'm going every Friday, full steam ahead.
Hey, man, perfect day, perfect way to end the week. For people, you're right on top. You're right on target with that one, man.
Cool, so, thank you.
So I see. My final question, if there is one, would be as far as like up and coming artists, right? What sort of advice would you be able to sort of share with them that would help them to motivate them to pursue their own career in the industry? You know, I know there's some pitfalls they're going to face along the way. You know, what advice can you give that would help keep them encouraged?
Well, it's funny. I was doing an interview actually 2 days ago, and that was one of the questions too, you know, the advice to young people starting. And the thing that I always go to is it's very important these days for young musicians to start learning beyond music, start learning the tools of the trade. For instance, make sure you are handling all of your social media. I'm sure you're doing that. Beyond that, learn Photoshop so you can do graphics yourself. So you can post things that you look, so now you look professional. Learn how to do video editing. Learn how to stream. Learn how to do all these other things beyond music so that you can be a kind of a self-contained entity, so to speak. Do your own website design. You know, there's tools these days. Especially, you know, just watching YouTube tutorials. I do that all the time if I don't know how to do something.
Exactly.
So instead of hanging out, you know, messing around, chatting with people online, you know what? Don't do that. Instead of watching TV, watch YouTube tutorials.
Do something constructive.
And learn something so that you're not reliant on other people. Number one. And you don't have to spend a lot of money to get that stuff done. Because when you're a young musician starting out, you're not going to have a lot of money.
No.
So you better learn how to do this stuff yourself so you can, you know, keep pushing. Yeah, of course, you got to, you know, you got to practice and you got to have your own sound, all these things that everybody else says. But I don't think enough people put importance on diversifying your, you know, creativeness. And understanding all facets of how to market yourself.
That's very important. That's one of the most important parts of your statement too, man, because and technology has made it where it's right there at the fingertips. It's like everything you need to succeed is like right there. All you have to do is take advantage of it, you know? And that's something that I think a lot of people could use, and I appreciate that. So, hey man, I thank you very much. You are a great guy, man. Great guy, great artist. I love your work tremendously, man. And I want to thank you for taking time out to come and talk with me, man, on the Keynote Cafe, man.
My pleasure to be here and keep doing what you're doing too, man.
I sure will, man. And hopefully, man, if possible, man, we can keep in touch or, you know, in the future things or something, whatever. But I would love to just keep up with what you're doing, man.
Of course.
All right, man.
You
God
got
bless
it.
You, man. Have a blessed one.
Cheers, man.
All right. How about that, huh? How about that, huh? We just got finished talking with Brian Culberson, huh? Great guy, huh? You can tell it by just how he is in the interview. He's a great, awesome guy to talk to and seems like a great guy in general, in the general sense, right? And after that interview, I realized that myself and Brian Culberson, we share the same perspectives on things and the same outlooks, and our approaches are very similar when it comes to certain things. You know, we both realize that technology is right here at our disposal and that we can use it to its fullest potential, you know, to maximize our exposure and to present ourselves as much of a professional brand as we can, you know, out there. You have all kinds of tools out there for a video, tools out there for music, tools out there for film, all kind of stuff that you can utilize to help make leaps and bounds in your pursuit of a career in the entertainment industry, right? And I think the other thing that Brian Culberson, about him that I share is commitment, determination, right? And believing that there's nothing that can stop us from accomplishing any of our goals if we don't give up and just continue to pursue it and be consistent and persistent, right? So I love that about him, and that's something that I share as well. One of the other things is just his overall commitment to his professionalism, right? He does everything, he puts forth every effort he can to outdo himself, to outdo any previous work that he's done. And that's something that I realized about him and that I share as well. When it comes to all the music that I do and everything that I've done, I always try to outdo my previous work. I never try to stay the same, right? And I definitely don't want to go below what I did on a previous project. I always want to go beyond and above that, right? And that's something that I love about Brian Culberson. I think that he has shared a lot of very valuable advice that people can learn from and apply. And particularly people who want a career in this industry that will help them you know, make some leaps and bounds. I think along with that, you need to have the right people in your corner. You need to have some people who specialize in certain areas that you can utilize to also help you get to that next level. Because although we have all this technology at our disposal, that doesn't necessarily mean that we know how to use it to its fullest potential, right? But there are other people out there who do know. And then you have information like on YouTube, you have all these other resources where you can get information on how to use a particular technology to your advantage in your pursuit of your career. Great job, Brian Culberson, and everything that you're doing. Thank you again for interviewing with me. So I want to talk about The Keynote Cafe, again, as I say, as I've said on the past episodes as well, if you go to www.thekeynotecafe.com, that will take you to a interface, pretty much, where you will have access to all kinds of things pertaining to the show, right? One of those things will be the membership, the Keynote membership plans, where you can go through and see which one fits your needs. There are like six of them, and I'm sure of those six plans, you will find something that will fit exactly what you will be looking for, right? You can get a lot of perks, a lot of different perks. We'll be doing contests in the future. You can probably win some trips in the future. But right now, as it is, you can win a lot of perks, a lot of things you can get out of those membership plans that probably nobody else is getting right now, right? That will put you at an advantage, right? So I definitely like to advise you to look at those plans carefully and find out which one of those affordable plans will be right for you, and enjoy the benefits that will come with it, right? So that's www.thekeynotecafe.com. The Keynote Cafe is on social media. It's on Instagram at The Keynote Cafe, okay? So the underscore keynote underscore cafe. That'll take you directly to our Instagram page. And on that page, you'll find all kind of useful information, all kind of fun facts, bios on your favorite artists, birthdays, you know, things like that, that you can stay on top of. We are also on Facebook at The Keynote Cafe. Go there as well, and you can find a lot of the same information. You have some people who they may be more Facebook fans than they are Instagram, or vice versa. So we're on both of those platforms for those who want to check out the Keynote Cafe's page and check out all the posts and all the things that fun information that's for everybody. Okay. Next week, we will have another special guest. I'll let you guys know more about that on social media as the date approaches. It promises to be another nice show. And I want to take this time as well to thank all the people who have been tuning in to the show to watch it. I'm very thankful for you. I very much appreciate it. And I would like to ask all of you to tell your friends and your family and associates about the show, right? Tell them to watch the show as well. Tell them to go to the YouTube page, to go to the Keto Cafe's website, to go to the social media accounts, to go to these places to experience the full benefit of the Keynote Cafe and all that we have to offer, right? The more people we have tuning in, the better, right? There are a lot of people who are tuning in watching, but I would love to see those numbers continue to grow. They are growing, but I just advise you to just go and just tell your friends about it, because a lot of these people who I'm going to be talking to, they are going to be great. They are great fans of as well, and I'm sure they would hate to realize that they missed out on an interview that they would have loved to have watched and listened to. Okay, so let everybody know about the Keynote Cafe, about the show. Also on the YouTube page, please comment your thoughts about the show, what you think about it, what you think about the guests, you know, how much you enjoyed the show and what have you. I would love to hear that from you. And I just want you guys to know how much I value you taking time to watch the show. The show is still a work in progress. We've been making a huge leaps and bounds, and we're going to be bringing you a lot of bigger and better things as we go forth. And I just can't wait for you all to experience that, right? So thank you all again for tuning into the Keynote Cafe. We're going to close out with a final song from the incomparable Brian Culberson. That song is On My Mind. And I hope you enjoy that. Hey, snap your fingers. Do whatever you want to do to that groove, man. It's a nice groove, okay? Hey, enjoy it. And we'll see you next week on the Keynote Cafe. Bye now.